Welcome to the Derek Loudermilk Show. This is episode 371 with John Jundai. This is a really fun interview with John Jundai, or John Jundai. He's from Thailand. He's a rural farmer from Thailand who became famous for a couple of his TED Talks about how easy and fun life can be. And I like to think of myself as someone who thinks outside the box, or that can see things from multiple perspectives. But during this interview, I was surprised at even how some of the things that John was saying challenged my perspective about how easy things can be. So I think there's an opportunity here for anybody listening to reevaluate what you really have to be doing in order to be happy in your life. Now, John's not just a farmer. He's also an earthen builder. He started a whole movement about helping people build their own homes out of earth in Thailand. He's a seed saver, a teacher, a philosopher, a parent, a father, a community activist, many, many things. But perhaps one of the most important things that he is he brings us a reminder about all the best things that life as a human can bring. Happiness and community and contribution and growing things and being with each other. So now let me introduce you to this wonderful human, John Jundai. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful to meet you. And I kind of wanted to ask something that amused me at first. I heard in one of your TED Talks that you don't buy clothes, that people just give you clothes. Is that still the way you operate?
Yeah, it's still the same. I think it's more than 30 years now that I haven't bought any clothes. 30 years is quite long for many people, but it's very normal for me because there's so many clothes, especially when I live in a community in Thailand. There are many visitors, many people who came to the farm and volunteer there. And when they left a lot of clothes there. So there's tons of clothes to use. So I don't think we need to buy any more clothes. Too many.
Do you have a favorite story from that experience? Like someone's clothing that you really liked receiving, or?
I don't have anything from other people, but my experience that I make decision to not buy clothes is because I feel low self-esteem a lot when I was young. Because I grew up in the area that very poor and low education. So people consider people from my area as second-class people in the countries. So we feel very low self-esteem. Wherever we go, we feel shy, we feel afraid of other people. And then when we went to Bangkok, most of people from my area will try to make ourselves not look like people from my area. They try to make themselves like a Bangkok people. So any fashion is very famous at that time. People from my area will try to buy it, use it, to make themselves look like a Bangkok people. So at that time, the most famous thing is Levi's 501. Normal jeans is only $3. But that one is the most expensive in the history at that time. It's about $10. So it's the minimum wage is like $20 per month. So I want to get that gene. So I stopped eating lunch for 1 month to save money to buy that gene. So when I got that gene, I feel so proud of it. I got the most expensive jeans to wear. But when I put it on, I look at myself in the mirror. I turn different side. I'm the same person. The most expensive jeans did not make me look better. It did not make me feel high confident anymore. I feel bad. When I walk outside the door, there's a neighbor next room. She's feeding her baby. Her baby is only 2 years. She's feeding her baby on the porch. And she saw me. Then she talked to her baby. People are so stupid. They don't even have food to eat, but they buy expensive things to wear. So that word woke me up immediately at that time. Wow, fashion is for stupid people like me. So that's the first time I feel like I will never follow any fashion anymore. I have to wear what I have. I will be myself. So that word is very powerful for me. It's changed my life a lot. So I decide to stop buying clothes from that time. I have to be myself. I don't need to be like anybody. So that's the original idea of stop buying clothes. So every time when I see myself wear the fancy clothes, when people give me the fancy clothes, I will feel, oh, people will look down on me again. Because you wear the fancy clothes, but you don't have money. That means you're stupid. So you don't have enough to eat, but you buy expensive thing to wear. So that's considered stupid at that time. So I feel bad about that. That's why I stopped buying clothes.
So did you immediately stop? The mother said this thing and you said, oh, okay, I'm done. And it was just easy like that?
Yeah, I feel like I wake up immediately. I feel, wow, it's true. I'm so stupid. Why I have to stop eating lunch for a month just to save money to buy a pair of jeans? So that's nonsense for me. So I can see myself quite clear at that time. And then I gave that jeans to somebody else nearby. I never touched jeans after that, until now.
I'm wondering how I would be myself if I were to give up buying clothes, because I have my own joy with, you know, beautiful things to wear. It makes me feel a certain way, you know, it makes me feel unique in a way.
Yeah, I think it's each person is not the same. Because if you have money to buy it, it's okay, no problem. If you have money to buy good thing, fancy thing, it's okay, no problem. But for people who don't have money to buy food to eat like me, and then I have to stop eating food to buy some fancy thing. So that's considered stupid to me. So that's why I wake up immediately. Not bad to wear some fancy thing, some expensive thing. It's normal. It's okay for other people, but not for me.
In that situation. Just want to make sure my internet's good here. Does it sound good?
Yeah.
When you first moved to Bangkok, is that when you started feeling like you needed to buy things?
When I first moved to Bangkok, I don't want to move to Bangkok, actually. But in my village, everybody is poor. So if you stay in the village, you have no future. You need to go to Bangkok so you can get a job, you can make money. That's everybody have to go to Bangkok. Young, every young people at that time, they want to go to Bangkok. So Bangkok is the place where you can change your status in the society, because only place you can get a job, get money, get education, and everything. So the people from my area, we always feel low self-esteem because we poor, we have nothing.
Your village is in the north of Thailand, is that right?
In the northeast.
Northeast.
Yeah, northeast.
Near Chiang Mai?
No, near Laos, Cambodia. Near Laos, near Cambodia.
Northeast. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been to Bangkok. I have been to Bangkok, yeah, and I have been to Laos, but I haven't been in the north.
There. There's no tourists in that area, so plain and people are poor, no interesting thing for tourists. So it's very quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mountains?
No, not much mountain in that area. It's very rare. In my province, I saw mountain the first time when I was 15 years.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw the mountain.
And you went to Bangkok and then you came back to your village.
I spent 7 years in Bangkok to study and to work a lot. And then after that, I feel like I work so much. I work every day, no day off for years and years. But I never have enough. I never have saving. I never have a good place to stay. That's something I think is not normal. When people work hard, work a lot, but why we don't have enough to eat? Why we don't have good place to stay? So what happened with our work? What happened with our labor? We work much, a lot, but we don't get anything returned. So that makes me think about the system is wrong. People should not work 8 hours per day, because I think when I look at the birds, the rats, animals, none of them work 8 hours per day, but they have enough to eat. They have good place to stay. But we human, we work harder than animal, but we don't have enough to eat. I feel ashamed to think in this way. That's why I feel like I have to leave this system. I don't want to live in the system like this anymore. Because when I was a kid, we never feel hungry. We always find food everywhere. But in the city, if you have no money, you have nothing, even water to drink. So I think it's wrong system. That's helped me to make decision easily that I will go back to my hometown. Because when I was kid, I always find food. I go to the river and catch fish. I can grow vegetable, I have vegetable, I grow food, I get food. But why I have to live like this? For 7 years, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I was a kid, everything is fun. We have a lot of laughing time, a lot of joy. We can go anywhere. We can do anything. Why we don't develop our life in this way? To make it easier and more fun, more joy, more food. But now we develop our life in a way it's more complicated, it's harder, and work more and eat really bad food and no family, no communities, even we live with many people. The more we study, the more we learn, the more we develop, we are more lonely and we have the bad food to eat. No time to rest. Why I have to be like this? So that's the reason that I think I want to go back and develop my life and make my life easier and more fun, more food, more friends, more family. and more time to take a nap.
That sounds, yeah, it's wonderful. I'm remembering a story, a guest, a friend of mine on the show, he went to Africa. He went to every country in Africa and he met his wife in Africa and she came back to the States and she said, oh my gosh, everyone is so busy and productive here. And she said, when I was growing up in Africa, we would sit around and play even as, you know, even as young adults. And she said, everyone is just so, their days are so full here and they're getting a lot done, but it's so different.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Every time I come to America, I feel bad for many people that they have to be busy all the time. They don't have time with their kids at all. Woke up and hurry, everybody's hurry. And then even they work that much. But I don't see like they enjoy their life much. They just make it day by day. So I feel like I don't like the system like this. Many people maybe love it. It's okay for them, but I feel like I have more choice. I have more freedom in my life. I want to enjoy my freedom, to enjoy it, to spend it in the way that I want it to be. So that's why I don't want to live in a developed country much.
Mm-hmm. You're in Colorado right now.
Yeah.
What did you notice this time when you arrived? Like, what's the contrast that you first were aware of between home in Thailand and in the States?
I think every time I see the same thing, I see the people so tense, so serious, cannot relax here, and they're busy all the time. And then I feel like I cannot play around much. Everything, you need to make money every day. You need to think about to make income because you have a lot of bills to pay. Even you have business, have many things, but you don't have time to rest much. So I feel like it still contrasts with the way I used to live in Thailand. I can go anywhere. If I want to visit my family, I just go anytime. You don't need an appointment. If I want to see anybody, I just go visit them anytime. So no appointment. So I feel like more relaxed in that way. And then we can hang out anytime. We can enjoy with anybody anytime. I feel like it's so different way of living.
I'm wondering if there's an intermediate way of living that's somewhere, not for people that aren't fully ready to do it like you're doing it, but maybe they feel too busy, too stressed. What's in the middle?
I think there's no right, no wrong. It depends on what you like more. So I think anybody can design their own way of living. So if for people who want the middle way, I think it's not too hard. The main thing is just practice inside us to not follow our emotion. Emotion is about like or don't like. So if we can live in a busy city, busy way of living like this, but if we not follow our feeling much, we don't follow what we like or don't like much, our life can be easy too. So the main thing now is we work very hard, but we spend for our emotion, our feeling. We pay for what we like and don't like, but we never pay for what we need much. So that's why make our life so hard, so complicated now. For example, like people can buy pop soda, can buy expensive coffee, can buy snack all the time, but they don't breathe enough to buy organic food to eat because they think it's too expensive. So they okay to buy something like that often and often. So there's a lot of expense on that, but they did not pay for something important for themselves, like good food, no chemical, no hormone, no antiseptic, something like that. So we spend money for something is not necessary for our life so much. That means we spend for our feeling, but we did not spend for our consciousness much, so mindfulness much. That's why we have so many problems. We have so much fear and worry. So I think whatever you are, wherever you are, is not a problem. If you want to have a quiet life, have a simple life, just follow our mindfulness or consciousness more than our feeling. So it will be easy.
What happens when you see something that you really like and you want to buy it?
Normally, I will ask myself, is necessary or not? If it's necessary, I will buy it without thinking much. But if it's not necessary, I just walk away. For example, when I was young, many of my friends who get a good job in Bangkok, they have money to buy motorcycle, fancy motorcycle, very expensive. But many of them have to be in debt. I want to have that motorcycle too because I want to go with them. I feel bad. I love it. I want to go with them. So if I have to buy it, I need to borrow money. I have to be in debt. But I asked myself, is that motorcycle necessary for my life? No, not at all, because I don't need it. But it made me feel good to go with my friend. So I will say, okay, I will not buy it. I will see if I don't buy it, what will happen? So I just keep watching my feeling that I want it. I want it. Every day my feeling will tell me that I want it. I want it. I will say, oh, it's okay. Just let it want it like that. Just ignore that feeling. A few years later, this motorcycle is out of debt. I don't feel like it anymore. But my friend's in debt, but I did not in debt. So I feel, oh, this is a good thing of not follow my feeling much. So I don't need that. And not very long, the new motorcycle came out and then I want to buy it again. So if we run after the feeling, it's never end. So with this experiment, it helped me to see like the most important thing is our consciousness or mindfulness. When we make decision, depend on what we need, not what we like. It's the main thing to make life easy.
And have you ever saved up money or resources to buy a thing you liked just to see what that was like?
I used to do that.
The pants. You already told me with the pants.
Yeah, I need to buy something, but the pressure, the happiness from getting that thing, it's not last very long. It go down very quick. Like if you want to buy a fancy cars, when you got it, the first time you feel very happy with it, but not very long, the happy feeling will drop very low, very fast after that. And then when they have new series of cars or new thing come out, it just drop faster. You want a new one again. So that's what I observe my feeling.
When I was preparing for this interview, I encountered an idea that was new to me, which is that if working hard, let me start over. If the system that we have, the corporate economic system, is hurting the planet in some ways, that if we are working harder, we're just hurting the planet more. Or if our system creates bad outcomes, and then we work harder, it creates more bad outcomes more quickly. And I had never thought about it in that way. It's almost like we should if we want to fix things, we should all just work. We should all just slow down right now. And that would be do more than almost anything.
Yeah. Yeah. The main problem is come from we work too much now. We work too much for nothing. We work too much to destroy ourselves. We did not work for ourselves. That's one thing that most of people never think about it, because we think we work for ourselves, but actually we did not work for ourselves. We're working hard, we make money, we work all the time, but how much we do good thing for ourselves? How often do we buy organic food to eat compared to how much do we buy coffee to drink, or how much we buy pop soda to drink? So that's something that show us that we did not work for ourselves. We work for something else we don't know. We sacrifice our life for something else. We did not work for ourselves. Because if we work for ourselves, our health is the number one. So we need to pay for our health first. Eat the good food. Spend enough time to sleep. And have a moment that we can enjoy our life more. That's for ourselves. But now we sacrifice our health, sacrifice our family, sacrifice our happiness. We don't think about it. We just spend all our life to work. So that's one thing I think is important for me to think in this way, because do we work for who now? Who am I working for now? Because I work hard, but nothing returned. I never give any good thing to myself. So that helped me feel like I need to come back to realize that in this world, the most important thing, the first priority in my life is my health. The second thing is my family. It sounds selfish, but I think if I have a good health, I can do more.
And what does a typical day look like for you now?
At the farm, I woke up anytime. I didn't want to, but the breakfast is 8 o'clock, because we live together, almost 20 people live together at the farm. And then we take turn to cook. If it's not my turn to cook, I can sleep late. It's fine. But normally we like to get up at 6 or 7 every day, and then we enjoy in the morning and then have breakfast. And then I will go to the farm, do something I want to do until 12 o'clock, we have lunch. After lunch, everybody in the farm will take a nap until 3 o'clock. And then after 3 o'clock, you can do whatever you like to do. You go to gardening, go to building, go to do anything that you like to do until 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, we stop. But many people enjoy their working. They don't stop, they keep working. And our dinner is 6 to 7. After 7, you just do whatever you want. You can play game, you can joking, you can go to bed, you can meditate or whatever. This is a normal routine in our farm, the way we live there. So.
And when you have the time that's for doing whatever you want, are you building? Are you reading? Are you doing podcasts? Like, what's normal for you?
Normally, I love to spend time in a garden. I love gardening, because when I dig the soil, I do something hard. The most precious time for me is in the garden. I spend hours and hours in the garden when I have time. That's the time I feel relaxed. I feel joy. So I will take care of the garden or do seed saving, do things like that. That's the most precious time. But lately I have to travel quite a lot because we start to do networking about seed saving. I need to do a lot of training about seed saving because seed saving is the most, the first priorities for us at the farm. So now I spend time on these topics more. But in general, I love to be in the garden. I feel more relaxed, feel good. I don't read books normally.
No.
Okay. I stopped reading books maybe 30 years already. Never read any books. I can read some article a little bit that people sent to me. No books, no movie, no song. I don't know movie star. I don't know the singer much.
Yeah. How did you know that seed saving, how did it become important to you?
I observed from my life. When I was a kid, I used to have many different kinds of plants that I love to eat. But later, not many years later, when new seed from the company came to the village, not really long, our own seed disappeared very fast. Many old kind of watermelon that we used to have when I was a kid, it disappeared. I cannot find it anymore. Many kind of eggplant disappear. So many things disappear. This is the way I realized that it's quite dangerous to not have seed in our hand. It's quite scare, make me scare, because most of the seed from the market is hybrid seed. You cannot save seed anymore. You need to rely on them all the time. Every time you grow, you need to buy, you need to pay. So that's make me think about, I want to do seed saving. This is the most important thing in our life. So that's why I want to spend the rest of my life to do seed saving.
Do you think that the companies that came in with the hybrid seeds, do you think they had bad intentions in some way?
In general, people said it's good because they develop new seed that make it better. But for me, I feel like they have some another reason behind it. They have some intention to monopolize the seed behind those development. So, because why, if they want to do good thing for us, why the new variety of seed is so weak? They need to rely on more fertilizer, more chemical, more hormone, more irrigation. You need to work more. And then most of hybrid seed are very weak and very short life. They not grow very well in the nature. They need a lot of care, a lot of investment on it. And the worst thing is the taste is not very good at all. Like a chicken from the factory farm and the chicken from the village. The same chicken, but different taste. So that's why I feel like they did not develop seed for human, for people, but they developed seed for monopolize the food system. So that's what I see.
So is your farm primarily plants, or are you guys growing, doing meat and livestock also?
Our farm, we grow a lot of vegetable, but mainly for saving seed and for our own consumption. We have some animal. We have cows and chicken and fish, but not a lot, only 2 cows and 200 chickens, and then 5 fish ponds. So that's the main thing we are doing there.
Mm-hmm. And so I have been looking at land and thinking about where maybe in the United States I want to buy land to have a farm and a community. How big How much land do you have?
Our land is about 9 acres. That's 9 acres. That's a little bit too big for 20 people.
That's smaller than I expected.
If it's too big, it'll be a burden.
I had Joel Salatin on the show, and he said maybe 1 acre of land per person in the community is reasonable. So that's kind of what I was working. You know, if I was going to have 20 or 50 people, then, you know, I should have at least that much land. Mm. But he also said leaving, you know, half the land is forest is common.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Yeah, it's depend on where you live. It's depend on the climate in your area. Like if we live in tropical, we can grow all year round. So half an acre per 4 people is okay. For 6 people is okay. If we manage well, half an acre, you can feed 6 people easily. And you have a little bit of income for daily expense, like for electrical bill, for gas, for oil, for sugar, for things like that you don't have it. So for sustain ourselves with the basic need, 1 acre is enough for 6 people in tropical. But in some area, like in Colorado, you have very short season. You maybe need more than that because you cannot grow much. You need to do more animal. You need to change your diet to eat more meat, more things like that. You need to grow more roots to save. So it's different everywhere. It's not the same. So I think you need to look at your location and what you need to.
Yeah, I'd be curious how you would approach building a community in Colorado. What else would you want to think about?
I don't think about I want to do it here, but if I have to do, I think I maybe need about 4-5 acres here. That should be enough for 10 people. I think I can do it. As I know, the weather here, a little bit, not a lot, so. If we have like 5 acres, if we have 10 people live together, I think we can manage to grow things and to have some chicken, some animals. And we can feed our member easily. But for money to do something else, we need to do another product to sell outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, sustainable in the 4 basic needs, like a food, shelter, and then daily needs and some medicine for healing, something like that.
And I know you build houses. Would you be able to do the same, apply your same ideas for building your own house in the States?
In the state where we live here, we have regulation, we have courts here. We cannot do that easily. But if we want to do like that here in the States, we need to select the area. Like my friend just came from Panpan. He is American, but he lived in Panpan for a while in Chiang Mai with us.
Yeah.
He just rent a piece of land in Pioneer with his friend. Pioneer is in Colorado too. That area, there's no code. You can build anything. You can grow anything. The climate is good. Everything's good. So they have an idea to start a community in Pioneer. So I will go visit them next week, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think many places in the state that they have no code, you have more freedom to build anything. I think where you are, maybe have more.
There, it depends on even the county. You know, and that's what we were finding when we were shopping for land, is that you have to know in advance, you know, what you can build and what you can't.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, just to ask about the code. If you worry about the expense for the building, if there's no code in building, you can build anything very cheap price in America, even cheaper than in Thailand, because you have so many cheap materials here. Because you can get door, window, and wood that people throw away easily. Now we store a lot of wood here in Colorado because many people want to throw away. So we just store them, door, window, and a lot of things. So we can build in like a few thousand dollars house easily, nice house.
Yeah, I have a friend in Boulder who builds tiny houses from recycled material. And they're like little luxury houses, all free.
Yeah.
From free stuff, but you still have to build it.
Yeah. If you know how to do it, it's quite easy here because there's so many cheap things, so many material here. For the building, it's very easy if you don't think about the code. And for farming, you have so many cow dung, chicken dung. You have so many things here. It's so easier than in tropical. There's a lot of things to use here, but because people don't use it, people throw away so much. So I think it's, if we want to live in a sustainable way or self-reliant way, here is heaven if you don't have code.
One thing that I appreciate about the United States is that we do have in most places enough water. And there's so many places around the world that are struggling for water. I know we have, California has trouble with that, but almost everywhere there's enough rain.
Yeah. In Colorado, in many area, we have my wife's families. They have a land in the mountain in Park County. Mm-hmm. In that area, it's very open. Not many people stay. It's 10,000 feet from the sea level. So we cannot use water there. Even the water run across our land because water right. So we cannot grow much there. So in many areas, even in Loveland, it's the same because you need to get water right. Have water right to be able to use the water here too. So it's hard.
I forgot about that. So you can't use the water that goes right across your land.
Yeah. You cannot dig a pond. Before that, you cannot even collecting rainwater from your roof. If you make the system to collect rainwater, you can be arrested easily. But they just changed the law a few years ago. So now we can collect water from the roof now.
Yeah. So your 9-acre farm, how is it laid out? I don't know if you can describe with words how you arrange the community.
We have water, we dug ponds. It's about 1 acre. It's about half an acre will be pond. And rice field is another 1 acre for field for rice. And the garden is another 1 acre. And another 2 acres will be fruit trees. The rest will be the forest. And a little bit of land we do for cows and chicken. So mostly forest we have it.
Okay. And the actual structures, the buildings and the arrangement?
We have earthen building, about 20 buildings hiding in the forest in everywhere. So we did not make zoning quite clearly. We just hiding, mix together with the forest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have any central, like a central space? You said you all eat together, but is there a focal point?
We have the meeting hall.
meeting
where people can do activity together, like dancing, yoga, or anything we can do together there. And then we have communal kitchen. It's a place where we can cook and eat together and do some, we can do activity together in the kitchen also. So mainly people spend most of the time in the kitchen area, because and one side of the kitchen will be the cooking area, another side will be like a dining room.
Mm-hmm.
So people just hang out there. It's very open. There's no wall. So just hang out and play around a lot there. We don't have, we have only one chicken or one kitchen in the farm. There's no small kitchen. So everybody eat together, cook together, take turn to cook. And our community is like a communist. Nobody own anything. Everything belong to everybody. Yeah,
but people own things outside of the community.
Not much.
No.
Mainly, we just live together like 24 hours, but every day. And then when we have income, the money will come to community fund. And then the community fund will pay for everything. But most of our expense is we spend on gardening or farming. But we did not make money from farming because we saving seed mainly. And we give seed for free to people. We did not sell seeds. So our income will come from training and from the products that we sell. So that's the way we survive. We never ask for funding. We never get funding from anywhere. So we just rely on ourselves pretty much. And we do homeschooling too, because many people have babies at the farm now. I think we have more than 7 kids grew up at the farm.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's 19 years, almost 20 years now. So the first group of the kids, they finished school, homeschool there, and then they move out. My son moved to Colorado. He want to go to college here, and another 2 kids, their parents from Scotland, so they moved back to Scotland. So for the schooling for the kids.
Mm-hmm. When you were first starting your community, what were some of the things that you had to learn that you didn't expect?
Oh, we did not expect to be a community at all. We are unintentional community.
Unintentional.
Because when I bought the land, I just want to have a piece of land so I can grow vegetables, saving seed. Maybe only 1 or 2 people stay together there. That's the original idea. Just want to have a piece of land and grow for seeds. But after I started, people came to visit often and often. And many people after the visiting, they don't want to go back. They keep staying longer and longer. And then at the end, 2 years, 3 years, they're still there. So we have more and more people increase every year. That's why we turn to communities after that, because there are more people who come to visit and don't want to go back home. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem. So now we try to limit the number of people at the farm. We don't want it to be more than 20 people. Because if it's bigger than that, we will have more management. We need to have more meeting. We don't like meeting. Meeting every time is very boring. You need to drink a lot of coffee, a lot of talking. So there's a lot of time to work, to do things. So if we have like 20 people, we don't need to do meeting often. Maybe once a month or 2 months, have one meeting, that's quite relaxed for us. We wanted to make our community feel like a family. Family that no leader, nobody control anything. So it's so nice to don't worry about meeting, about talking, about things like that much, just joking and have fun. So that's the way we design to be.
So people don't see you as the leader, even though you're the original?
No, I don't have much role in the communities. So I will be the person who will work in some work that people don't want to do, like empty the septic tank or something that fixing something hard, something like that. So they don't think I'm the
leader. Okay. And so you gave a couple of TED Talks, and they're quite popular. And I'm wondering if that had any impact on you
personally. I don't think it have a big impact on me, except more people contact me. That's all. But I don't feel like it make anything change in my life at all. Yeah.
Were you surprised that they are so popular?
I don't think I'm popular because I still live the same way and do the same thing. I don't even know how many people watch my thing. Even now I do YouTube channel. I don't even watch it. I release it and have time to watch it. I just do my own thing. It's just,
yeah. You like doing YouTube?
I think it's not too bad, but I think it's good way for me to communicate with people who used to come and learn from us. Because so many people who came to the farm and volunteer there, came to the workshop and think they visiting something like that. So when they went back home, I think this is the way they can see the chain, the progress, whatever happened at the farm. So I think just a way to communicate, that's all. I don't think anything to make the impact.
So it's like your family newsletter, kind of?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Okay, yeah, we have that in my family. Okay, that's fun. I have a couple of kids of my own. They're 3 and 5. And I know that you've spoken and written some about parenting. And wondering, so partly in general, you are thinking differently than a lot of people. And I'm wondering if there's anything in the realm of parenting where you are thinking a lot differently, besides, you know, just homeschooling.
I think parenting is something easy. That's different for many people, because many people think parenting is a burden. It's very hard work. You need to sacrifice a lot of time in your life. You need to make a lot of money to make sure that they have good life. But for us, parenting is easy because we think that we don't need to teach them much. We take care of our kids like the buffalo take care of their calf, like the cows take care of their calves. They don't need to take care of their baby much. They just let their baby roaming and they're just eating somewhere, but their eyes looking at their baby. Just let them go, give them freedom. So that's the main thing. We think different from many people because many people, they try to train their kids to be in this way, to go in this way. You need to know this, you need to know that, so you can compete with people in the real world, something like that. But we never think like that. We just let them grow. Whatever they need, just come to us. We are just supporter, helper. We are not teacher. We are not parents. We did not train them to be us. We let them to be themselves. So to think in this way make parenting is so easy. And then what we are doing is we don't teach our kid much, but we change ourselves. What we don't want our kid to be, we will not do that thing. Like, if we don't want our kid to lie, we will never lie to our kid. If we don't want our kid to drink pop soda, we will not drink pop soda. So they will not drink it. So they start to, when they don't drink it, they start to create their own way. They make their own fruit check. They make their own drink easily. They invent more new things. So that's the way they can grow. So to be parent in this way, I feel easy and relaxed.
So if you want the kid to be different, then first you just change it in yourself.
Yeah.
And they will observe you.
Yeah. Don't change other people. Have to change ourselves.
I like that. Did you ever get into a situation where you felt, or your kid felt he was not prepared because you didn't teach him something?
No. He feel my kids, he make decision by himself since he was four years old. Before that too, we let him make decision everything himself. So he never think that we make something bad for him because he proud of himself. He have very high confidence in the way he do. So he did not blame ourselves. He even blame himself because he make his own decision. So I feel like he's happy more in that way. And then we did not teaching. We don't have like a blaming culture or complaining culture with our kid. We just say that everything have good and bad. So you choose whatever you like. There's no right, no wrong. Just do it. The most important thing is you understand it. It's not about your success or fail. So we live in this way.
And what about when they're doing something that you don't like personally?
Oh, it's our problem. It's not their problem. We need to manage our thinking. That does mean we did not respect our kid enough. So he has to be himself. He has to make decision himself. What he like, he choose that thing. It's not what we like it.
And do you set, you said boundaries, like, you know, when kids are younger, to either keep them safe or make it so they're not spending too much time doing an unhealthy behavior? Or what did you set any restrictions?
We have no restriction, no rule, no boundary. What we give is freedom and love. When kids have enough freedom and they feel enough love, they will not do anything bad for themselves because they value happiness. They value the freedom and love that is very useful for themselves. So they will not do anything to harm themselves. Like our kid, we never say that, oh, you cannot play game. You cannot do that. You cannot do it. We never say that. Our kid can have a chance to play a game, to do anything like that, every kid, but they're never addicted to it because they have more freedom to play. Game is not very fun. It's fun for people who have less freedom. That's why people are addicted to game, because they have no freedom in their life. But our kids, they have so much freedom. They have so much friend. There's so many things to enjoy on this earth. It's more fun than game. That's why they can play a game, but they're never addicted to it. Mm-hmm. So we feel like you don't need to have rule or regulation for them. They just be themselves.
So easy.
Yeah. That's why in the first time when we have kids, we worry. Because we think like a normal people. Oh, we need to do that, do this, to prepare that, prepare this. But when we have kids, we talk together. How about if we just let them grow in the way they want it to be? We just become helper or observer that change the whole thing after that.
How did you meet your wife?
She's a exchange student from the state. She went to Thailand to do some study project there, exchange student. And then after that, she finished university. She volunteered with the NGO group in Thailand, with farmer group, like a farmer movement in Thailand. So at that time, I just started the earthen building movement in Thailand. So I did a lot of earthen building workshop in Thailand. So she attended the building workshop, and then she liked it. And then she organized the workshop in the community that she worked with, and she invited me to do that. And then we know each other from that time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. So I lived for a while in Bali, in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived, often we would live in a new villa, but in the middle of traditional village.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is local people are selling their rice fields, maybe not all of them, but some of them, to get a big payday to build a hotel or a villa or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was imagining it would be quite hard to say, no, I want to keep my rice as it is, because you could make so much money all at once. What are your thoughts about maybe even advice for local native people in dealing with a tourist industry or a big opportunity like that?
It's happened in Thailand too, in many areas. Like in Thailand, there are many places start to be like that.
Yeah.
Because when they have more tourists, the big amount of money been flood in the village and bought their land very expensive price. And not very long, local people disappear from that community. There's a lot of stranger own the land, become big business. Local people just have no place to be. So that's what happened in Thailand. I think it's hard for them to fight with this thing to survive. But the main thing that I think about it now is just we try to, if some village they want to do tourist business, we do some training for them. Like we train them to see what do they have, what do they proud of in their area, what they can show to tourists. And then we can train them to start to use their own house to make homestay, to make something like that and develop from that thing. So they can be the owner of the business. So, and if they organize well, that's one organization they call CBT Project, Community-Based Tourism Project. This thing, they did a lot of training like this in the past. I don't know how they're doing now. But in the past, I know them. I helped them some. So it's very interesting project that they want local people to be the owner of the business, of tourist business in their area. Like in one village in Thailand, they have about 40 families. And CBT trained them how to run things. And then they find a customer for them, advertise for them. So every house, they will take turn. Like if they have five tourists come this week and they have 10 family, so the first five will get customer. And the next time, the next five family will get customer. They will take turn. And then they will take like a 10% of their income to a community fund. They use that money to develop the trail, to clean the forest, to do things in their community. So I think this idea is work very well because it's empower villagers a lot. So they can keep their land, they can have more income, they can develop the way they want it to be. So I think it's nice project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from a tourist perspective, some of the best memories are, you know, you can stay in a nice hotel anywhere, but you can't stay with the family and play their games with them anywhere.
Yeah. I think that kind of tourist, I think the community can design what kind of tourist do you want? You want very rich tourists or backpacking or any kind of tourist? Sometimes like in Nepal, tourists in Nepal, they don't want to drink a lot. They don't want to have drugs a lot like in Thailand. They don't have a lot of prostitutes like in Thailand. So they can design their way of business. So it depends on the local people or the villages. How do they want? That's why I think it's important to have a brainstorm and decide the community together first. So I think that's important for villages.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I got from watching your videos is, and we've already talked about this, that you think differently, but how, if somebody wants to think differently, they feel it would help them. How do you know if you've always been thinking the same way as the system? How do you know when you're thinking differently? How do you start to do that?
I think normally what makes we think the same thing is because the education system. We go to the school, the same curriculum. That school is like the factory that pump people out to think the same way, do the same thing. So there are many moments that everybody will have their own mind, their own thinking. It will come out. But they don't brave enough to do that because the system put a lot of fear on their head that if you don't follow this line, you will be insecure, you will be blamed, you will be failed, you will have a lot of problems. So I think everybody have the different idea, different thinking, but we are not brave enough to bring it into practice. So for me, I feel like the most fun thing in our life is just don't let fear control us. When you're afraid of something, do that thing. Be with that thing. That will make ourselves become ourselves more. So we can be unique. We can be different. We can be ourselves more. But if we have fear, we let fear control us. We cannot do anything different. We have to follow the stream.
Could you give an example of a time when you had some fear and you forced yourself to do that thing?
For example, I left Bangkok. I went back home. I want to do farming at home. But everybody in my village, they do rice planting. They plant the rice in a small plot. And when the rice tall, like 1 foot, they pull them out and they transplant them again. It's very hard work. It's long time. But I don't want to do that. I just want to sow the rice and done. Easier, faster. And people say that, no, you cannot do that. The grass will cover your rice. People have been doing this system for many hundred years. You don't believe in other people. You fail. So everybody don't agree with me. So when I start to do it, the whole village, they blame me. They look down on me. They're, oh, you're so stubborn. See, I will see you will get rice to feed your family or not. You have to be beggar. They said that. So I sold the rice. But I know what I'm doing because I observe the grass in my land. What kind of grass that they will not die when the water flooded? I dug them up. I kill them. Any kind of grass that they die when it's water flood, I leave them. So when I sow my rice in there, no tilling, nothing, just sow the rice into the grass. When the water come, my rice grow in the grass. When they grow big enough, the more rain come and it's flood, water flood, only rice survive and then they grow well. So nobody agree with me. Everybody say very bad thing to me. My mother don't want to leave her house because everybody said that your son has some mental problem. Yeah. But the second years, half of the village follow me. And now nobody do rice planting the same way anymore. So this is one sample that I feel like if you worry, if you worry about what people think about you, you will never do anything new. You have to follow the same technique.
That's a really amazing story. Because I've seen people planting rice that way, and it is, in a way, it's romantic. It's like you see the people working and it's like there's a picture of them with their hats on in the field.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're farming. And also I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Picture is very romantic. Like the student from university, they went out to the country. They saw people carry the water from the well to their house in the sunset evening. It's so nice picture.
Yeah. Wow.
It looked nice. But do they want to do that? Nobody want to do that. Yeah.
Has there ever been a time when you tried something and people said, oh, that won't work, and it didn't work?
Most of my life just like that. When we first do homeschooling, when we start to do homeschooling is very new thing in Thailand, so everybody believe in the school system, even they have to pay a lot of money. So when we decide to do homeschooling, people just come to me, you're crazy, you ruin your kids' future. They will not compete with other people. They will get a. They will not get a good job. They will not. So many people say bad thing to us. So, but when we did, we have no problem. And now there are more and more people in Thailand do homeschooling. So, there are many things like this happen. Even earthen building. When I start the earthen building the first time, nobody believed that it will be a house. Many friends came watching me. I want to help you, but I don't want to waste my time. Because if I help you to build a house, when the rain comes, it will melt. So it wastes my time to help you. So everybody don't agree, don't believe that it will work. But when I finish the house, oh, it just looks like this, so nice. After that, people follow me. So I'm the first person in this era who do earthen building in Thailand. And the beginning is not easy to talk with people. But now, everywhere, people do earthen building in many places in Thailand now. So it's quite a normal thing for me to do something different from other people.
Is there anything in your life right now that people are saying, that's not going to work? Or does everybody think like, oh, John, everything he does works.
There's something that they don't agree with me much. Like, if you live like this, how to live like this? I have not much income, no saving, no insurance. How can you live like this? So people don't believe that living like this will be possible for them. Yeah, this is one thing that people still question about me.
Hmm.
But I feel like I have no problem with it. I have less income than most of people, but I'm not worried because I have so much food. I have so many houses. I have friends everywhere. I have good family, easy families. So I have relaxed home. Even I have no money. So people feel like if you don't have saving, when you're getting old, who will take care of you? So that's what people worry the most.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried because I grow a lot of fruit trees, a lot of trees. I have a lot of fish pond. So when I'm getting old, I just stay in my farm. I have everything. Even I cannot work, I can go down to lie down under the papaya trees. Papaya ripe drop on my mouth. It's good. I can survive in this way. So I'm not worried. But I'm not worried really, because when in the near future, if I have fertile land, a lot of fruit tree, a lot of food in my land, people will come to me because we will have less and less food in the world. So people will come. We will have a lot of people because we have a lot to share.
Yeah, I've been, I think a lot of, and we're seeing it here in the United States. People realized when the pandemic started, oh, I need to be able to rely on myself to, you know, either protect myself or feed myself or get water for myself. So there is a lot of people moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I live in the city. But I'm planting, you know, some food in our little yard. and it's nice to just watch things have a growing cycle. You know, I was traveling for many years. I traveled for 7 years, so I never had a garden. And mm-hmm. it's a whole new thing for me to see the seasons and, you know, complete 60 days for a food to grow and produce and all of those things. Any advice for people that are thinking about starting a farm or starting a community?
I think the main thing is just to experiment, observe and experiment. That's the main thing. Don't try to copy other people because everywhere is not the same. There's no formula that you can use everywhere. So the best way is just try it and observe it. If they have problem, try this thing, try that thing, and then you will learn. I think whenever we turn our land into the experimental labs, we learn so much. We learn every day. I think it's the best way of education. Only 1 month, we learn more than 4 years in the university. So will be exciting every day because every day we understand new thing every day. But if we don't experiment it, only collecting information from the media, from books, that will be a problem. So read less, watch less, listen less, and do more. We will learn so much. We will develop very fast.
Do you have any experiments that you've done recently that you like?
I think farming, the easiest way that I found now is mulching technique. Even the soil is bad, don't worry. What kind of soil, it doesn't matter. Just plant any tree, any fruit tree that you want, and cover with leaves or branches often, maybe at least 2-3 times a year in tropical country, at least 3 times a year. You don't need to do much after that. They just grow boom, 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 fast. But in cold climate, it maybe take longer time. But in cold climate, you have a good luck because you can get cow dung, chicken dung free easily everywhere. So much of them here. You don't need to do much. Last year, we bought a big truck of cow dung. We spread on the grass here. Now, when the snow melts, it's just green immediately. Don't do anything with it. So nice.
How did you buy cow dung? How did you find it?
Oh, there are many farmers here. We ask them if we can see they have cows, we can ask them, can we have some cow dung? One pickup truck, two pickup trucks, they say, oh, just come and go. Just come and get it. There's a few farms here that we know. They said, whenever you want it, come get it, because it's a burden for them because they don't use it.
Mm.
They don't use it much. But in Thailand, so expensive. One truck of cow dung is cost $100 or $200 in Thailand. But here it's free.
It's really delightful just chatting with you. I'm enjoying
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm wondering if there's stuff that I haven't asked you about. We didn't talk as much about the seeds. Anything else you wanna share that you think is important?
I think seed is food. Food is life. If we have no seed, that means we have no food. So seed is like a freedom. Seed is like happiness. If we develop ourselves, have a lot of things, but no seed, no food in our hand, it's not secure. So to have food in our hand is more secure. That's why seed saving is very important thing. We need to come back to do seed saving if you're a farmer. But if you're not a farmer, you need to support people who do seed saving. Try to support them, buy the produce from them. And then that will be the way we keep our seeds survived. So the seed disappears so fast now. The number of seed that we grow for eating decreases so fast now. So I think this is the most urgent thing. This is the biggest crisis now is food for me.
And those watermelons that you used to grow, does somebody somewhere have a seed for them?
No, disappear. I went to Laos, to Cambodia, to many countries nearby. We never seen it anymore. Some area, they said, oh, last 2 years we planted them, but we got the hybrid seed from Thailand. We stopped them. Now we don't have them anymore. So quite too late. It's really long. Almost 50 centimeters long watermelon. Wow. Quite long. It's so big and long. And then when I was a kid, I cannot lift it up. So I need to use a rope to tie it and pull it. Yeah, I remember that. It's so good, watermelon. When you grow them, you don't need to take care of them. We grow them in the middle of rainy season. Anywhere the land is very high, there's no flooding, we just till the soil and stick the seed in there and leave it like that. 3 months later, it covered with grass, the whole thing. But when you open the grass, you can see a lot of watermelon hiding in the grass. So I just love it because those kind of seed, they grow so well. They have less disease. They're so strong and they taste so good. But they maybe have more seeds, that's all. Mm-hmm. We can develop them if we can get it back.
Yeah, I hope you find it. I hope you find some of those. Yeah, they got, they're out there. They're out there hiding in the grass somewhere on their own, you know?
Yeah. But people use Roundup spray everywhere in the country now.
Joan, I really, really enjoyed this chat, and thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing some thing like this too. I hope we can spreading good idea, good thinking, to share more with other people.
And your one of your fundamental principles of, you know, life can be easy and life is fun. Everyone here needs to hear that, as far as I can tell. So, all right, thank you.
Well, okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.